Hello and welcome to today's episode of the 49ers Unrestricted Podcast. I'm Timmy Gibson here with my co-host, Daniel Bigelow. Daniel, how you doing this fine Thursday morning?
I know it's the wrong sport, but happy opening day, baseball fans. Baseball starts today, and that cements the NFL offseason third point. It's normally once baseball season starts, NFL offseason is a third of the way in.
I know a lot about baseball, and what I'll say is good thing the Giants didn't sign this Ohtani dude. You don't want someone with all these gambling allegations on the team. I really a relief that we didn't pull him in free agency, right?
Yeah, pretty wild situation going on, but I'm not even going to get into it because you're not going to stop me.
For the record, I think I'm on the Ohtani's innocent side. I just feel like, I don't know, if a lawyer's listening, I want to call that out.
Come on, look at that smile. No way that sweet, innocent smile could ever do any wrong.
He does just seem like the nicest dude in the world. Anyway, jumping back to the football side of things, Daniel hinted we are deep in the NFL offseason. The teams are going to be meeting up again soon. We've got Kyle Shanahan running into players in Cabo stories. Those are always fun. And
I've heard that yet, so you're going to have to share that.
It's not actually a big deal. But we got the NFL owners meeting, some rule changes that we probably won't talk about too much but are weird. And so what we're really going to go after this episode is catch up on any other free agency news that happened kind of between our last episode and today. And then we're going to talk a little bit more on in depth about the 49ers draft needs. And then I think if you want to see us looking ahead, next episode we'll do our classic full mock draft, really dive into the guys we see the Niners going for. Daniel, yeah, maybe so, you want me to talk about the Cabo news if you didn't know about that?
Yeah, I just didn't hear about that, so I'm curious about that.
Yeah, well, I can dive in. We got, you know, John Lynch spoke at the owners' meeting, talked a lot just about how they're taking no. This is Brandon Ayuk drama, right? They're taking no trade offers on Ayuk. Like, they don't want to trade him. They want to keep him. Ayuk, you know, posted an Instagram story that with a bunch of emojis we're supposed to be all worried about. I don't think we need to be, but, you know, it got dramatic. Kyle Shanahan was interviewed for his first media availability in a long time, and he was like, yeah, you know, I was in Cabo for vacation, and Brandon was in Cabo, so we've talked. Like, we met up. We talked for a bit. I think he's in a good spot. Like, I think we'll get it figured out. That was all the drama. Just a call back to, you know, Kyle Shanahan being in Cabo but at the wrong hotel to recruit Matthew Stafford a couple years ago.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I guess I'm not. Is this always on Twitter or X?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. All the drama's always on Twitter / X.
Yeah, I'm just not on there enough, so I miss everything. But
that's probably very healthy for you.
So I was texting you and another friend pretty much whenever there's any Niner news. I text you and this other guy, Juice, who's been on the show before. When if Timmy's gone, I call Juice, and because no one wants to listen to me just by myself. So I was texting you guys, and I can't remember if it was you or him who pointed out, yeah, but this is the like in regards to the Brandon Ayuk drama, the cryptic tweet and whatnot. If it's called X, do we still call it a tweet?
I think you're supposed to call it a post, but I call it a tweet because Elon Musk is not the boss of me.
Regardless, I texted you guys, and one of you had said, yeah, but this is the same thing that happened with Debo.
Oh, this is way less bad than everything that happened with Debo.
That's even what I was just going to point out is I think that this is way less, and so I wonder if Brandon Ayuk is just like, hey, Debo, how do I do this? And Debo's like, post this. I don't know how it works, but all the drama, all the cryptic tweets, anything of it, it doesn't like make me feel good. It doesn't make me like think that things are going swimmingly well, but it doesn't worry me either. And like, that's really all I have on it is John Lynch has been so upfront. We're gonna keep Brandon Ayuk. No trade offers. He's ours. We're gonna sign him. So I'm not worried, and that's all I know to feel. So Timmy, what are your thoughts? What are your feels on it?
Yeah, I'm also not worried. I mean, I think and Kyle Shanahan talked about this, right? I think the team understands how valuable Brandon Ayuk is to Brock Purdy's continued development, right? They've got a really good rapport. Ayuk has become the 49ers wide receiver one. To be honest, I think it's more likely Debo Samuel leaves the 49ers than Brandon Ayuk. And I hate saying that, but it is a little bit what I think might be going on. But if you look at the Ayuk situation, this drama is nowhere near as bad as the Debo stuff, right? And so I think we'll make it work. You have to imagine that a big part of letting Eric Armstead go was to clear the money to bring back Ayuk. The 49ers have cleared some cap space. I fully expect them to retain Ayuk, and I don't think this has gotten anywhere near the level of drama that the 49ers have before. With Debo, I think Brandon Ayuk is just playing the part he needs to play on Instagram to get some money, and all credit to him. He's got to do what you got to do. But I think he comes back. I don't even know that I expect this to be particularly hostile. The 49ers have been pretty open. They want to bring him back. That definitely loses some leverage in the contract negotiations when the GM is like, hey, yeah, we want to bring him back. So I don't think they're doing that if they're not pretty confident they can get a deal done.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, I'm just going through all the contracts in my head. I'm like, okay, because I agree with you that I think they would, especially if they are able to get a deal done with Brandon, then he is the wide receiver to stay, as opposed to Debo, who has had more injury concern. A lot of the reason being he gets more usage and running back-esque usage. So yeah, we have the offense almost completely retained. Even the offensive line, there's not a lot of departures. I know Matt Pryor signed somewhere else, but not a big loss there. And if you saw that John Feliciano even returned, was kind of surprising.
That was surprising.
Kind of gone after the tweet.
Yeah, I think we thought Feliciano was gone after he publicly called out his teammate and blamed him for messing up and losing the Super Bowl, which I think is bad taste. I'm still kind of frustrated about that, but you know, from people who are much smarter and know much more about offensive line play than me, they think Feliciano's been good for the 49ers. So I think the 1-year deal makes a lot of sense. We'll talk about this in draft needs, but I fully expect a big focus in this year's draft for the 49ers is going to be getting younger on the O-line. So I think that explains the 1-year deal. But yeah, that's the first of the big free agency news, is Feliciano is coming back for one more year, and it makes sense. He played well.
That feels really weird that that's like a part of the big free agency news. I guess he technically did become a starter, so it is bigger. I didn't care much about the signing when it first happened, but I also didn't realize how big of a role he might play. So, but I couldn't agree with you more on draft needs is line, maybe a cornerback, line. Mainly offense, also defense. Next episode, we will truly get into, we'll try to do a mock draft. We'll look at a lot of the other mock drafts. Timmy, I don't know about you, but there has been a ridiculous amount of mock drafts released, I feel like, more
than
normal.
It is mock draft season. The mock draft industry waits for no one.
I feel like I'm normally waiting around for more drafts. Like, I'm like, okay, I got Kuipers, I've got ESPNs, I've got all these others. And now I'm like getting more, maybe I'm just so focused on baseball, but I'm getting more mock drafts and I'm like, oh, okay. I wasn't fully done going through and analyzing the last one. Now I've got a new one.
Mock drafts take a lot of time. I know that's kind of a woe is me comment, but it is a dense set of reading to read through a mock draft. Let me tell you.
There's a lot that goes into it. And even if you just want to look at your team's picks in the mock draft, like I have the most recent 7-round ESPN mock draft. I think that was released yesterday. And then the Niners have an article just looking at has descriptions for each pick the Niners had. And so I can go over some of the names that they picked, but also let's just look at the position. So in the first round, the 31st pick, they take Jordan Morgan, who is a name that we have seen linked to the Niners in this spot. He is a guard or offensive tackle, and that's why we love him, is because he can do both from Arizona. And so he would either find a starting spot, or he would watch behind someone for a little bit and be a big part of the future.
Or potentially come in at one of those guard spots, which, right, is the 49, probably the weakest spot of the 49ers offensive line right now, and then shift over easy to tackle. We've seen teams take that approach before. If you look at the Cowboys, I think it's Tyler Smith has been their left tackle and or left guard, and he came in as a left tackle, moved in there. The thought is now that Tyron Smith has left Dallas, that he will probably slide over to the left tackle spot. So that would make a lot of sense, as well as the 49ers look. I think we'll dive into this, but I think one of the biggest things you'll see consistently in this draft is the 49ers trying to get younger on the offensive line with the thought of someone who can slot in for Trent Williams' retirement, right? Trent Williams is still the best of the best at the top of his game and has been honest that he wants to play at least one more year so he can set the record of most all pros for an offensive tackle. I think he will easily do that. But obviously we need to start looking to the future. So I don't hate the idea of someone who can slot in on the right tackle, although the 49ers are bringing back Colton McKivitz, and then move over to the left tackle, or maybe play that left or right guard spot and then move over. So a pick like this that can do both spots with potential at tackle makes a lot of sense to me. I think you'll see a lot of these kind of guys mocked to the 49ers.
And they need to be. I mean, this is a true need. You can argue there's a lot of different things like running backs and receivers, these premium positions, these very, very important offensive positions are always a need. But no, if we sign Ayuk, and we have all three returning, Ayuk, Debo, and Juwan Jennings, no, it's not a need. Chris McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell and Jordan Mason, no, running back is not a need. But offensive line, there's zero depth right now. And so not only is there lacking any true offensive line vision for the future, I guess you could say, there's not even really any depth right now. And so that's what these draft picks really need to be focusing on. I'm stressed if there's not a lot of offensive line picks here. But one other thing you could look at as an area of need is the secondary, and it's kind of one of those things where, Timmy, you tell me your thoughts on this, but I feel like in an NFL draft, if you have, I mean, there's seven rounds, so I think normally the average is seven picks for a team. I think a lot of the time there is compensation picks, so teams get more. Sometimes they acquire more, whatever the number truly is. But I'm pretty sure the Bears have like four picks and that's it or something. But the Niners having as many as they do in the later rounds, it's like, okay, we always take a late round running back and a late round receiver and a late round secondary. I just feel like that's what always happens, at least in this John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan regimen that's been around.
Yeah.
That's just what always happens. And I'm curious to see how that goes this year, where there are some serious needs elsewhere in the offensive and defensive line and in the secondary, whether that's cornerback or safety. But if we're to look through, let me just go through and tell you the positions. I don't need to tell you the name of everybody in this seven-round mock draft. And we have two sixth-round picks and two fourth-round picks. So we already went through Jordan Morgan.
Yeah.
So guard / offensive tackle.
I've seen some other – let's talk a bit, right? I mean, the first-round pick is the most fun to talk about. So I have some other ones that have crossed my mind or that I've seen on mock drafts that I think are worth discussing, right? I think you've got Jordan Morgan. You've got that offensive tackle, offensive guard blend. You're also seeing a lot of just straight tackles mocked to the 49ers, right? That's a big one as well. And so I think that is something we could expect to see also. And then you've also seen Graham Barton out of Duke. I've seen mocked a lot. He is like a center guard combo. He's by far thought of as the best center in the draft. And so there's a thought that the 49ers might go that route. And then, I mean, I even read a mock draft yesterday that had Cooper DeJean, the cornerback safety hybrid out of out of Iowa coming to the 49ers to fill up some of those secondary spots. He's a great kick returner as well. That would be really fun too, bring in a phenomenal athlete in the defensive secondary who could shore up really any of those different spots back there. And so you got that. And then, Daniel, I've seen some edge rushers as well go into the 49ers in mock drafts. And as much as we've spent on edge rusher in free agency, I don't know that we can rule that out. Talk to me. Any of those jump out to you? I feel like the edge rusher, it's like, yeah, that feels like what the 49ers would do, doesn't it?
Yeah, because if you look at this during the last season, there was Nick Bosa, Chase Young. How long was Drake Jackson hurt? Like a significant amount of time, right?
Yeah, a while. And I mean, when healthy, Drake Jackson has underwhelmed for the second round pick the 49ers brought him in at, right?
Sure. I'm just going for quantity right now, because you had Bosa, Clelin Ferrell, Drake Jackson, and then I think two more guys.
Robert Beal Jr.
Edge. Yeah, who I think is there's still some promise. He's just taking time as he was, I think, like a fifth round pick. But they love the numbers back there. I mean, they have, especially in Bosa and now Leonard Floyd, they have some studs on the edge, but they love depth there. And they don't have a ton of that as much as they, for some teams, they probably have plenty. But for them, they don't have enough. And so I don't see them signing too many more. I see them addressing that in the draft. You're right. But I'm almost against it. Just because there's so many other needs. I would love to see three offensive line minimum, one or two defensive line drafted. And then it's like, okay, I think getting a linebacker and cornerback would be awesome. And then that's not a single offensive weapon that has been drafted, at least in the needs that I just shared.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a crucial point, what you said of it might not be enough defensive linemen for them. This 49ers regime has just run through the defensive line, right? That's just been where they've paid up. Obviously brought in Leonard Floyd, brought in a couple other edge rushers as well in free agency. The Niners are hoping someone out of Beal or Jackson makes a second or third or fourth year leap. I can't remember what year Jackson is. I think this is his third season. And so the 49ers are hopeful there. But I think bringing in a top edge rushing talent, if one falls, the 49ers are going to have a hard time passing on that. Interior defensive line as well, right? They brought in a couple big names. But Arik Armstead did just sign with the Jaguars. He's going back to play for a Trent Baalke team. And so with that in mind, I could even see the Niners going that direction. So I think offensive line is what I would do, and I think it seems like the most likely. But if one of those elite defensive backs falls, or one of those defensive linemen or edge rushers, I don't know that you can rule that out. I don't know, Daniel. What would be like your wild card pick for the 49ers to do in the first round?
Specific name or position?
Let's say position. I think we'll dive more into names in 2 weeks.
Okay. What's so hard is, I mean, it's hard to separate the names and the positions, of course, because I'm trying to pull up that 7-run mock draft because I wanted to look at. There were so many different names that I was shocked that went as late as they did. The one that is really in my head right now is Kool-Aid McKinstry, went late in the second round. And I know he has some injury. I can't remember what
Kool-Aid
it is.
Kool-Aid McKinstry, defensive back out of Bama, just to.
Yeah. And he
coolest
was
name
such
of all
a
time.
Big, for real. He was such a big. He was such a big name in the beginning of the draft talk. And I understand that a lot of things change and yada yada. But, and injury, of course, because I thought it was like a small. I thought it was smaller. I think it might even be like a small bone fracture or something, but they said he was going to be good to go very soon. And I just see names like that at a pretty premium position as cornerback where I'm like, if he's there, why wouldn't we? Because cornerback is a need. I think there's a lot more talk. I don't know if it's set in stone. Timmy, you tell me if it is, that Deommodore Lenoir would play the nickel.
Yeah, I think the 49ers think nickel corner is Lenoir's probably best position, but Lenoir's the second best defensive back on the team. And so the 49ers have him, you know, he plays the outside corner, and then on situations where you need a nickel, they've brought in Ambry Thomas, they've brought in other guys to then allow him to go in. Obviously the Isaiah Oliver experiment did not work out. And so defensive back that allows D'Amino Lenore to focus where the team thinks he's best makes a lot of sense. So I would not, if one of those elite defensive backs, I mean, remember our general manager is a defensive back. So if one of those truly elite guys is there, I could absolutely see the team go in that direction.
Yeah, and it's pretty necessary too, especially because who right now, say Lenore lines up not in the nickel and just opposite Traverius Ward, who plays the nickel? You got Samuel Womack and Ambry Thomas is like the only other
Ambry Thomas is definitely not a nickel. Womack, I think, has played it a little, but you're right. Lenore's the right. They're either drafting somebody to play the nickel or shoring up that other outside spot so that Lenore can stay there. And Cooper DeJean is a guy that could do all of those spots and play safety and kick returner as well. So he's an interesting name for sure. I don't know. I saw him in one mock draft that I read yesterday and was kind of shocked that anyone thought he might go to the 49ers. So I thought it would be worth talking about.
Yeah, I keep referring to the 7-round mock draft that ESPN put out yesterday or 2 days ago, just because it's the first 7-round one I've seen. And I like getting to look that late into the draft. He went in the first round before the Niners even had a first pick. So he is certainly, his stock is rising, and that's why I was surprised that Kool-Aid McKinstry dropped as much as he did. But I think I'm really realizing, even just right now as we've been chatting, that cornerback is much more of a need than we had really looked at. So I started going through the 49ers picks in the 7-round pick, and I'm just going to tell you the positions real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
First round was guard, offensive tackle. Second round, they had defensive tackle, Chris Jenkins from Michigan. Third round, they had a guard from Michigan. Funny that they're going two offense defensive line from Michigan. First pick in the fourth round, cornerback. Second pick in the fourth round, linebacker. Third pick in the fourth round, tight end. Fifth round, safety. Sixth round, wide receiver. Sixth round, running back. Seventh round, safety. And so if we just look at this, again, it's not the 49ers personnel making these picks, but you look at that, that's 1, 2, 3 offensive line. That is 1 defensive line. No edge. It's a defensive tackle. No edge rushers at all. A cornerback, a safety, and then the classic Niners picks of 1 running back, 1 receiver, 1 tight end, 1 linebacker. What sticks out to you from those positions selected anywhere throughout that draft, Timmy?
I mean, I think the offensive line early is like, if you are asking me to be like, what are the 49ers going to do? They're going to take an offensive lineman in the first round, right? I'm like pretty, like if I was going to put money on it, that's where my money's going. You know, I think I'm actually really interested by the tight end pick you mentioned. And I say that because I think we talked about this last time, how John Lynch gave his comments on how the 49ers really think a tight end needs, or an offense needs, 2 elite pass catching tight ends to really operate at the highest level. And they talked about how they've been trying to do that and just have not pulled in that top complimentary piece to George Kittle. And so I wonder if a tight end going to the 49ers earlier in the draft, a true pass catching one, is more possible than we think. And if it doesn't, it means the 49ers have more confidence in Cameron Latu than we thought. But that one really jumps to me as you know, worth thinking about, because it's a little different than what we've thought about before.
I got to be honest, I keep forgetting about Cameron Latu. Every time you say his name, I go, oh yeah, because we drafted him last year and he's been hurt. But I don't know if we ever said this last week, Charlie Warner did sign somewhere else. I kind of want to say the Falcons, but he and Ross Dwelly were kind of each, you know, 2A, 2B behind George Kittle. And even Braden Willis sometimes stepped up ahead of them. But because Warner and Dwelly have been there for a while, and they have certainly not been the elite tight end that we would like to see. But it shows you one of the backups, one of the main ones that they have used, is now gone. So that shows you there's a need. That means something has to be done to add, unless they just really trust Cameron Latou. And we're going to know in this, if they truly take a tight end in the fourth round or earlier, then no, they definitely see the tight end as a place of need. If they take him late in the draft, I think they're like, no, Cameron Latou can potentially be that guy that we need him to be. So, got options there. But I think the one thing that really sticks out to me is, Timmy, as we've been talking, like, they definitely would want an edge. That's like, it's the Niners' way, is getting an edge rusher.
I bet an edge rusher comes in the first three rounds, to be honest. If I'm making a prediction, that's my prediction.
So I've had people ask me, hey, what positions are you thinking for the draft? What do you want, essentially? What are you hoping for? And I would say, what I have said is, I would be pretty frustrated if our first overall pick, the 31st pick in the draft, is not an offensive lineman.
Ditto.
And that's just positional. But again, a kind of full circle going back to the comment you made earlier, okay, well, what happens if some of these names, and I've already done a lot of research, and of course in April we do a deep dive into, I try to learn predict the first three rounds. I try to learn all of those names and who they are and in their skills and who the Niners could take. That's just fun for me, and I think it's good for our podcast. But I would be bummed if it wasn't offensive lineman, but if it wasn't, then I would go, okay, did we just get an extremely good value at a different pick because they were this late? Is it Jared Verse or just Verse? He's a defensive edge for, I want to say Florida, but I think that's wrong. He was a guy, he went like late 20s when I had seen other mock drafts. He was projected to go 8th overall to the Falcons. They instead took Dallas Turner, and so Jared Verse fell. But I'm like, if he can go that late, then absolutely, let's get another star edge rusher to have with the three of, with Bosa and Leonard, and that would be amazing. But then I'm like, nah, we're neglecting the offensive line far too much. So I like that in the first, you know, we have one first, one second, one third, and they take two offensive line in this mock draft. I think I would love that.
I agree. I mean, I think that's the biggest need, and I think you put it the best. That's the position that, like, if they don't go early on O-line, I'm going to be the most annoyed and frustrated about, right? Like, if they don't go early to bring somebody in at that spot, then I'm going to be annoyed. I'm really hoping we can bring in one of those elite offensive tackle options. There's a couple, like, unpolished, really good athletes who are expected to go in the later half of the first round. I want one of those guys. Like, let Trent Williams teach this guy and train him up to be his heir apparent. Like, bring in a guy who's just raw athleticism and let the 49ers polish him up. I really am going to be bummed if we don't go offensive tackle in the first round.
Yeah, I'm sure they would be asked at interviews, but I would just need to ask Kyle and John, like, why? Like, make me feel good about this pick. And I'm sure it'll be a name that we know, and it'll be like, yeah, I bet it's a good player, because there's just not a lot of people I've seen that could be going that early on that I'm like, no, I don't want them. There's not a lot of guys that I don't think would be good additions at certain positions, but I just think it's like, It is a glaring option. The only one thing I guess I could understand is a cornerback, because there are a lot of good cornerbacks, but I just think there's a lot of depth. I think there's a lot of depth to the cornerback class, and so it's like, why do you need one so early?
Yeah.
I think that's
a second or third round pick, and I think it's probably O-line first round, some combination of edge and corner in the second and third round, and potentially more O-line in the first three rounds as well.
Yeah. Yeah, even a defensive tackle, I don't think I would like that to be their second pick, as we saw in this mock draft, but I understand the need there. Yeah, we'll see. So, Timmy, let's close with our biggest needs. I would say offensive line, and we can just put it all across the board.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Offensive line all across the board. Offensive line, guard, and tackle, I think, is more important. I'm comfortable with our center to keep running for a bit.
Okay, but I would put, like, guard slash tackle. Doesn't matter which one. We need both. So that's number one. I would say cornerback is number two. And then maybe defensive line, edge, three. Safety, four. It's like not – really the two big needs are offensive line and cornerback. And anything else is just adding depth pieces. You could say we would need a safety to go with – well, I mean, we still got Odom, Jair Brown, Hufanga coming back from injury, and Gibson. So I think we're good there.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think we're going – I think it's O-line is the biggest need, and then probably corner edge rusher. It's going to be fun to see what happens here.
Yeah, we'll get into some specific names next time.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. I know this episode was kind of we made it tailored to that gray area between free agency and the draft, and next time you hear us, it's going to be all draft. So as always, listeners, thank you for tuning in. Daniel, any parting thoughts?
If you haven't before, go watch an opening day game of baseball today. Do it for me.
And the Sweet 16. Don't forget about the Sweet 16.
Oh, that's right. Today is Thursday. It comes back. Yeah. Dude, I've got 12 out of 16 in my bracket.
Oh, this guy goes with the chalk picks, ladies and gentlemen, is what you just learned.
Dude, I picked Oakland. I got Oakland.
All right, that's a win. Well, everybody, thanks for tuning in, and we love having you, and stay safe out there, everybody.